This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Saturday show. We're here for you. If you want to call in, you can bring up anything that you want. That's 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass is here.
So we're going to get back into your phone calls, but just in regards to the last guy that was on the phones, and for those of you just tuning in, you didn't hear the call, he called in. We've been talking about Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And the horrors of bombing innocent, what is mostly a group of over 100,000, some say as many as 200,000 innocent people. That, he would say, oh, we have to go to war sometimes, blah, 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 war this, war that. And I forget why he brought up something about, oh, well, you're a citizen, and something about citizenship. He brought that up.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, no, I'm actually not a citizen, and neither are you. Do you know what the definition of a citizen is? Because there's a bunch of people that believe, because they've been told their whole lives by government agencies, by government schools, by mainstream media. It's all over the place. It's constantly pounded into you. You have to check boxes on forms that constantly say that you're a U.S. citizen. So yep. Everybody believes it. But what if it just weren't true? Well, all you have to do is look at the definition of a citizen. And, you know, to some extent, he's right that there are, quote-unquote, different definitions out there.
Sure.
But the most common definition, from what I've seen, you go to dictionary.com, because we already read it from Merriam-Webster,
yep.
Probably the most recognized dictionary out there in the English language. But here's dictionary.com. A native or naturalized member of a state or nation who owes allegiance to its government and is entitled to its protection. Okay, it's pretty clear. Someone who owes allegiance to a specific government, and that government has some sort of obligation to protect that person in return for that trade.
Right.
Because if that trade, let's say, was broken by one side saying, the government in this case, saying, nah, we don't really need to protect you. Oh, okay, well then why would I have any allegiance to you in the first place? Presuming there really was an agreement, and there wasn't, right? Unless you were actually naturalized, unless you actually did immigrate into the United States, where they actually did ask you a bunch of questions, you had to sign a form, and you had to swear an oath, and
right.
The average person in the U.S. that was born here, they didn't go through that.
Nope, I didn't.
I certainly didn't either. So they just issue you a number, and they say, oh, well, congratulations, you were born here, you're a citizen. But not if they aren't obligated to protect you. And the fact is, they aren't. So that's all you have to do is look that up. Look up no obligation to protect, and you'll find court case after court case, Supreme Court cases.
Again and again and again and again and again, courts have ruled military, police, whatever, have no duty to protect you.
That's right.
None. Zero. Zilch.
They might do it on accident or because they feel like it. I mean, it's not to say that it couldn't happen if you call the police. They might show up and do the right thing, or they might show up and shoot your dog and kill your son.
One every hour.
But if the thing is, if they don't show up at all, there have been some people who've like brought a lawsuit and said, hey, I called 911 while my wife was being murdered and raped and you didn't do anything about it. Well, guess what? They didn't have to.
They go, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Precedent over
here.
They don't
even usually say sorry.
Oh, no, they don't. You're right.
No, they just say, we don't have to.
Yeah, they just go over here. Over here, the precedent has been set where the Supreme Court has ruled that they have no duty to protect you. So what you're saying, Ian, let me summarize this. If a citizen is a person who is owed a duty of protection in exchange for a duty of allegiance, mm-hmm. and the organization that is supposed to provide that protection has said again and again and again and again and again that they have no responsibility to do so, then that kind of means that citizens don't really exist.
That's what it seems like to me. Huh. Now, if you want to weigh in, you're welcome to join us here, 603-283-6160. Now, that's not going to stop them from assaulting you and throwing you in a cage.
Taking your money.
I mean, I would love to be able to say to the federal gangs, like, well, hey, you know, I'm not a citizen. Your laws don't work on me. Well, they still have men with guns, and they still have cages, and they still have their courts and all that crap. And so if they want to hurt you, they're going to do it. But it is an interesting discussion, and it is true what you're saying about there's no obligation on their part to protect you. That's a fact. And so this whole claim that, oh, well, there's a social contract. Yeah, you know, every now and then somebody will call in. Well, you guys, you agreed to the social contract. Well, we always like to say, well, no, we didn't. But even if we did, presumably that's what they're referring to, right? Because that's the closest thing that you could possibly come to some sort of a definition of what that contract might actually entail. Because they can never point to it. They can never say, well, here's what it says.
Or they'll say, well, the Constitution is the contract. Well, guess what? Only a handful of people signed that. I didn't sign it. Did you sign it?
The Constitution is by definition not a contract because it is simply a set of rules for them to follow.
Correct.
The Constitution does not specify.
But even if it was a contract, it can't be enforceable because
it's not binding to you.
It's not binding to me because some old guys a couple hundred years ago signed a thing.
Doesn't make sense.
How does that bind me to it? No. It doesn't.
Let's talk to Law Dog. He's in Michigan. Law Dog, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and the Captain.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and thanks for allowing me to share this. Page 200, Bill O'Reilly, Killing of the Rising Sun. GB Bank employee, 18-year-old Akito Takakura, is among those who were spared. She stepped into work just moments before her workplace exploded at 8:15, stopping the bank's clock precisely at that time. When I was doing my morning routine, she said, the dusting of the desk and things like that, the A-bomb was dropped. All I remember is I saw something flash suddenly. Though the bank is just 300 yards from the center of the bomb blast, its stone walls and armored window coverings provide a perfect protection. Just on the other side of those walls, on the steps leading into the bank, Akiko would have been instantly turned into a carbon lump.
Wow.
Momentarily knocked unconscious from the blast, Akiko wakes up a short time later and staggers into the street to the scene of profound horror. Many people on the streets were killed almost instantly. The fingertips of those dead bodies caught fire, and the fire gradually spread all over the entire bodies from their fingers. A light gray liquid dripped down from their hands, scorching their fingers. I was so shocked to know that fingers and bodies could be burned and deformed like that. Akiko wandered through the city in a daze, her progress slowed by the countless dead bodies she carefully steps over. She makes her way to a former military garrison where bare-chested soldiers were performing their morning calisthenics just hours ago. At the drill ground, the burnt field was strewn with what must have been dead soldiers. She lies down on the ground to rest. I don't know how much time passed, but at dusk I suddenly vomited what must have been the remnants of my breakfast. I vomited bloody phlegm twice. I knew then that I too would die in that place. Despite 102 cuts on her back from flying glass and debris, along with two serious burns, and many bruises, Akiko finds the will to go on. I am going to live. I've got to live, she tells herself. A half century from now, determined that a new generation of Japanese must never forget the horror she's experienced today, Akiko will write the poem to children who don't know the atomic bomb, describing that morning in graphic detail and ending with the following unforgettable image. One woman walking on the road died, and then her fingers burned. A blue flame shortening them like candles. You gentlemen take it from here. I got to take a piss. See ya.
Thanks, Law Dog. I appreciate that.
To be fair, you never really take one. You leave one. I mean,
deposit.
I don't know that anybody I know has ever gone into a bathroom and, like, literally took one.
True. The English language failed us on that one, I think. Or at least the use of it. Just a horrible story, and one of a myriad of them, just absolutely horrifying from Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yeah, I don't mean
unnecessary.
I don't mean to make light of the words that caller just read to us, because war is horrific, and
mostly unnecessary.
The fact that there are way too many people who can't see that war is wholly unnecessary for people to exist on this planet is probably one of the most disturbing things that I, you know, think about on a daily basis. Mm. That so many people are like, well, you know, we had to do what we had to do. It's like,
we
didn't have to do anything. It was decided for, you know, the proverbial we that everybody likes to use. I didn't decide anything. Did you decide anything?
No, and usually it's politicians lying to you, right?
Yes.
So when they say a thing, oh, weapons of mass destruction, yellow cake, oh, oh, they attacked us at the fort.
The Gulf of Tonkin.
Whatever. Gulf of Tonkin in the Vietnam incident. So, you know, lies, 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 built on top of lies to get people to support killing innocent people all around the world. When will it end? Well, we're going to have to, I think we're going to have to end governments. And whichever order it happens in is fine with me. We're coming.
My name is Stephen Huer. In 1976, when I was 15 years of age, I was poisoned from two mercury dental fillings. The mercury came off these fillings in such high amounts that I went from having excellent health to having chronic constipation and candida overgrowth. I could barely eat any food for 4 years, which resulted in adrenal exhaustion by the age of 20. Despite years of diet experimentation, juice fasting, and intestinal cleansing, it was not until I took certain prescription sulfur amino acids that I healed my eliminatory function and eliminated my candida overgrowth. Later, it was not until I began to consume Green Meadow Whey that I eliminated my mercury burden 100%. Had Green Meadow Whey existed in 1976, I could have healed my gut and body decades earlier. Green Meadow Whey supplies a very high concentration of the sulfur amino acids needed to fuel glutathione production. Glutathione removes mercury and virtually all other toxins from the body. Set your body free from the burden of heavy metals and environmental toxins with Green Meadow Whey. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker, or whether you're a school teacher, or whether you're a scientist, or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to GCNTaxCut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. GCNTaxCut.com, GCNTaxCut.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and the phones are open for you if you want to join in here. The number 603-283-6160. Ian and the captain in the studio tonight. If we get the chance, we'll get into Russia going after the dollar and the euro. We'll explain what that's all about coming up here. Of course, you can bring up anything you want. You can also join us online anytime over at freetalklive.com. We have our social media platform. It is our platform. We run it on our server. It's a Mastodon-based system, which means it's open source, and it's connected, they call it federated, to thousands of other Mastodon systems across the world, which is pretty cool. It's a nice system, and it's free to use, and we get to set the rules for our server. And so our rules are you get way more freedom to express yourself than you do on the big media, big tech, mega platforms. Head over to social.freetalklive.com. You can post there at your leisure. That's social.freetalklive.com. You can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners and hosts of the show. Once again, social.freetalklive.com.
Real quick, I just wanted, because we were talking about war and we're talking about, you know, how to bring about the end of war. Well, a good start, of course, would be the separation of money and state.
That'd be a great start.
I think that would go a very long way to ending war. Because, I mean, it's kind of like, at some point, everybody thought it was ridiculous to separate church and state, right? And then somehow the idea caught on, and everybody's like, yeah, that's totally what we should do. We should separate church and state. And then that happened, and then guess what? Churches had much less influence over political situations. The same thing can be accomplished by separating money and state.
It's not going to let it go easy, though.
No, of course not. And that is one of my fears, of course, is that as the economy in the United States continues to decline, the value of the dollar goes down and down and down, inflation goes up and up and up, the price of everything is extraordinary these days, and it shows no signs of slowing down, that at some point, if you look back at history, particularly the United States history, the only way that politicians get the country, quote unquote, out of these economic turmoils is by going to war. War is the health of the state, Smedley Butler, I believe.
He did say that. That's
war
right.
War is the health of the state. And
but
so,
how are you, I'm sorry, you're saying it gets them out of economic turmoils? I mean, that makes things worse, well, right? Because then you're shifting all this money over to the war effort.
Well, are you really? Right? Or are you just rallying everybody to, you know, get in on it, right? All of a sudden, they're going to need weapons. They're going to need more ammunition, right? So they crank up the factories. They crank, you know, they got to start producing more things to support the military than they currently have. Because when you go to war, then it's like it's sort of an all-in.
Well, it's certainly good for the military-industrial complex,
right,
but not for the rest of the country.
But if you look traditionally, or if you look at the history and what happens is, you know, the economy sort of goes down, they declare a war, the economy comes back up. It's just a cycle that I've observed. I could be wrong, but it's a cycle that I've observed. If I'm wrong, give us a call, 603-283-6160.
I think it's probably a temporary illusion. You know, maybe when you're saying the economy comes back up, maybe because the federal government is printing money and then sending it to war profiteers, that somehow is being factored in. Not having actually looked at this in any significant manner, but, I mean, it's, what is it, the broken window fallacy, right? The idea that, oh, well, if you break a window, then that creates all this economic activity. Look, the window repairman, he's got new business now, and he's coming and he's fixing things, and then the janitor's cleaning it up because it's broken and whatever, right? Like, there's supposedly all this economic activity. But the unseen part of that is, what would that business owner that had the broken window, or in this case, the whole country, in the case of the war, what would they have done with that money if they didn't have to clean up the broken window and replace it, and or in the case of war, go to war? Then they would have used that money in a more productive manner. They would have put that money to work at their business, for instance, and they would have maybe hired somebody or hired two somebodies or expanded their business or gone on a vacation or whatever. But because somebody broke the window, now they can't do that. Or because the government went to war, now tax money is, you know, more taxes are being extracted from people, more money's being printed. I don't buy it, Captain.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, if you guys want to weigh in, feel free. The number is 603-283-6160. Otherwise, you could war yourself into prosperity, and that obviously doesn't make any sense, right?
I mean, that seems to me to be exactly what happens.
I don't think that can be true.
Okay.
You can share your thoughts here. Gigi is on the line in South Carolina. You're on Free Talk Live.
Good evening, gentlemen. Number one, I adore what Law Dog from Michigan read to us. Excellent. Number two, several weeks ago, I called and posed a question, why are American troops located now in Somalia? And Richie Rich gave a wonderful answer. And lo and behold, last night on the BBC, they echoed what he said to me many weeks ago.
And what was that? I wasn't here for it.
The doesn't want Russia or China to come in and control the Red Sea that empties into the Indian Ocean for trade purposes and oil tankers. And lastly, very much appreciate what both you gentlemen said about citizenship, because I'm thinking, what better example than when President Roosevelt rounded up the troops and state and local troops cooperated, or we should say maybe collaborated, against Japanese American citizens.
Oh, yeah,
that's
and
true.
Their property, their businesses, their homes, their cars, their money in the banks were confiscated, and they were put in internment camps. How were they protected when they gave allegiance?
Yep, great point. Excellent
right?
point.
Right?
Yeah, and didn't they also round up some Germans, too? I know they don't usually get talked about, but there was it
yes.
wasn't just Japanese they were rounding up,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. German-American citizens. And lastly, please permit me this. I lived in Miami when Elian Gonzalez was kidnapped in the middle of the night,
yep.
sleeping like a little boy would be in the middle of the night, in the home of his family, when Janet Reno gave the okay for the troops to go in and take that child by force and scare the hell out of them to only send him back to a communist country.
It's horrifying. I remember when that happened in the late 1990s.
Yes, sir. Disgraceful.
Thank you, Gigi, for the call tonight. I do appreciate hearing
great,
from you. And
great point.
I'm glad you brought up the internment of the Japanese. We didn't even touch on that here. And it has happened before, and there's no reason to believe that that wouldn't happen again if they wanted to.
Yeah, people like to believe that, it won't happen here. It can't happen here. Blah, 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 blah. And like if you just,
but it did.
You know, look back at the past, you're like, it did, and it will again.
So I don't have, there's a lengthy story here over by the, let's see, it says Ludwig von Mises, who wrote an article, Interventionism and Economic Analysis.
Yeah, I was looking at something from the Cato Institute that seems to agree with you, and that is to say that when the United States goes to war, the way they calculate GDP mm-hmm. does increase because they're counting, you know, the wartime stuff as gross domestic product. But they've gone on to say here that it actually, the GDP lowers per capita as a result of war. So they do seem to agree with your assessment.
So
that
the profiteers make the money.
Right.
Everybody else suffers.
They're doing the calculation and going, hey, look, war is good for business. But in reality, it's not.
The number is 603-283-6160. This is a really detailed story with the war market economy article. I will post it on our social media for anybody that wants to dig into that. And it's interesting. There's more coming up. You can join us here on Free Talk Live.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
For a second day, Israeli airstrikes have flattened homes in Gaza, and Palestinian rockets hit for southern Israel, raising fears of another major escalation in the Middle East. It began with Israel killing a senior commander of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad militant group amid a wave of strikes Friday that Israel says were meant to prevent an imminent attack. On Saturday afternoon, Israeli warplanes stepped up strikes with hits on four residential buildings in Gaza. All of the locations reportedly were linked to Islamic Jihad militants. The death toll now stands at 24 people, including six children. Russian forces began to assault two key cities in the eastern Donetsk region of Ukraine. They also kept up rocket and shelling attacks on other cities in the country, including one near the largest nuclear power plant on the European continent. This is USA Radio News. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says China should not hold talks of important global matters hostage. He spent Saturday in Manila meeting with his Philippine counterpart. It comes as China conducts a series of military exercises off Taiwan's coast in retaliation to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visiting Taipei. Blinken says issues between Taiwan and the mainland need to be resolved peacefully.
What we've seen China do over the last few years is move away from a peaceful resolution of differences to doing so coercively and potentially forcefully.
President Biden has tested negative for COVID-19 1 week after testing positive with a rebound case, but he will remain in isolation out of an abundance of caution until he tests negative for a second time. Elon Musk says his $44 billion deal to buy Twitter can proceed if the company can tell him how they know which accounts are spam bots. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, live Saturday show. Phones are open and you can join us.
Live from New Hampshire, it's Saturday night.
We're here. You can bring up anything you want. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian and the Captain in the studio here tonight. Captain with a brand new website URL.
CaptainKickass.com.
Yeah, buddy. Got to get that out there.
I know.
That's a good one.
I've said it a couple of times, and I think I even mentioned it maybe last night, too, because I did a... I didn't realize this. This is day two of a kick-ass weekend on Free Talk Live.
Oh, all kick-ass all weekend.
All kick-ass
right.
all weekend.
Right.
I did last night. I'm here tonight, and I'll be here again tomorrow.
Well, that's 50% more kick-ass.
It's pretty kick-ass, if you ask me.
Let's go to your calls and thoughts here, and then maybe we can talk about a little bit more about this interventionism question on, you know, is it good for the economy? First, Michael is on the line in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Michael.
Yes, I have a unique perspective. I hate to take sides, but war is good money, and it's not just for the U.S.
It's not good money. You're earning it through evil, number one.
Well, I work for an Army depot, and I work for a company, and that company actually worked for BAE, which is British Aeronautics and Electronics. They build a lot of the heavy-duty six-wheel drive vehicles. I work for the MRAP program during the Iraq War. So it actually helps, I know for a fact, both our economy and the UK, because they invest money into our, like, weapons.
Well, you understand that money was stolen, right?
What? No, no, both countries dump money into
it. No, it's stolen money.
What do you mean by stolen?
What do you think taxes are, dude?
Oh, absolutely agree there. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Right. So then, wouldn't you agree that people would be better off economically if they didn't have their money stolen from them, and they could buy whatever it is they wanted, or invest in what they wanted, or start a business that they wanted to start, rather than sending it to go blow up in bombs overseas?
I absolutely agree. 100%. Okay. The hard part is, who would run, you look at the cities. They have people running them. Chicago, if there was nobody to guide them, what would happen? L.A., Baltimore,
Have you been to these places? I mean, I haven't been to all of them, but I understand they're pretty horrible.
I've been to most major cities in the U.S., and they're horrible.
Yeah, how's that guiding going along?
All over the country with the military. Oh, they're absolutely wretched anymore.
And also, too, just for an example, I watched in Seattle, where I lived for 22 years, I watched several things get voted down and implemented anyway. So these politicians certainly pay no attention to what the people of these cities actually want and just do whatever they want anyway.
I mean, we have the oldest Congress. Absolutely. I mean, I live in a state where our governor doesn't even pretend that he cares. I mean, they call him King Wolf.
So I would surmise that if the governments of these cities sort of faded into oblivion, that these cities would figure out how to do everything voluntarily. That is, by distinct agreement between people.
How'd that go?
What's that?
Sorry, what?
We gave them the opportunity to be autonomous, and that went just horribly.
Who did what? I'm sorry, say that again?
When they had that CHOP, the autonomous.
Oh, the CHAZ.
They were given an opportunity. Occupy Wall Street. Everybody let them do their thing. How'd that go?
Those aren't okay. So first of all, the CHAZ thing you're referring to is a couple years ago. There were a group of activists that. Hang on. First of all, those aren't anarchists. They're communists.
Yeah.
But there's a group of people that took control, quote unquote, of a few square blocks, right, of Seattle,
Capitol Hill,
and basically the police backed off and said, "Okay, it's all yours," and they did that. And that's not the same thing as a sea change or a renaissance, if you will, in the way that people think about government. And so,
to sway people towards the idea of a commune and everybody being peaceful, the utopia just is unrealistic.
Who's doing that?
I mean, there were always people who were going to strive to be.
Who was swaying people towards a commune?
That's why you have athletes.
Michael, who was it that you were saying was swaying people towards a commune?
No, I'm just saying in general, the idea of swaying people towards a commune.
That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah,
that's one ideology.
That's not what we're talking about here. No. We're not communists. Michael, we're not communists. Okay, so we're not talking about that. We're talking about a free market. We're talking about swaying people towards the idea that it's stupid and counterproductive and destructive to have governments around that will destroy people's lives and destroy people's freedoms and ruin people's businesses when we could just have freedom and let people choose for themselves. That's the idea that we want people. I don't want to speak for you, Captain, but that's spot on.
I agree, but realistically, then you end up with Mexico. The cartels.
The hell are you talking about? Their governments in Mexico?
The alphas who are like, look, these people are weak.
Yeah, the difference between the government in the United States and the government in Mexico, and I've said this recently, is that the United States has what I like to call a subscription-based model, whereas Mexico is a little more overt with their taxation, with their theft. So, for example, in this series on HBO called The Anarchists, right? A guy died. His parents went to go pick him up from the morgue, and the morgue was like, "That'll be $25,000, please." And they were like, "No, we're not paying that." So, but in the United States, you just go and you pick up your person, but they have already collected that $25,000 in your subscription model to taxation for whatever city you're in.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty ridiculous, Michael, to suggest that there's no government in Mexico. I mean, they've got a big government.
I mean is their government is ineffective. The cartels basically run it. The Zetas and the Sinaloas do what they want.
When you say is ineffective,
their government is ineffective and useless.
Well, I mean, okay, they still exist. They're still collecting taxes.
The Batista brothers do what they want. They own cattle lands here and cut down the rainforest there, as long as they dump money into the pockets.
Say that the Mexican government is ineffective, what are you comparing them to regarding the United States? What are you saying they're more effective or less? What is the U.S. government more effective at specifically than the Mexican government? I'm just trying to clarify what you're saying.
Well, in regards to, at least we don't have the cartel problems in the U.S. that they have.
Yes, we do.
But
the problems aren't so much with the cartel as far as, like, the cartels generally, as I understand it, and Jason Henza's in the chat room tonight. He's living in Mexico right now, so if he wants to weigh in, I'd be happy to hear from him. But the cartels, as I understand it, tend to target other cartels. You generally, unless it's like in the crossfire, you generally don't see innocent people getting snatched up and killed by the cartels in Mexico. And further, we have a cartel in the United States. It's called the federal government, and they're buddies in business. So just because they're less overt with how they're ruling over people and extracting money from them and using violence against them, because they've dressed it up with this window dressing. Oh, well, if you get a ticket, you can just take it to court. Whereas, you know, in Mexico, you can just give them $20 or $100 or whatever it is. It'll make them go away. In some cases, that will work for you down there. If you try that here, it will generally not work for you, and you'll end up with a, you know, trying to bribe the cop charge on top of whatever other charge you were already facing. So it's just a different system of violence, but it's a system of violence nonetheless, and the people of Mexico are oppressed by their governments.
So to save your own behind is better than paying taxes?
Say that again.
Yeah, I'll say it again.
If you pay money to save your own behind, you get a ticket, and you're like, hey, cop, look, I'll give you $30 if you let me go. Is better, corruption is better than paying taxes.
What makes you think taxes aren't
taxes are corruption?
Oh, but that deals with the people in charge. At least we can change that by voting.
No, you can't.
Have you tried to change anything by voting? Tell me one thing you've changed by voting.
Well,
the silence is deafening.
Like Paul Schemmel. Paul Schemmel.
If voting changed anything, Michael, they would make it illegal. And the fact is, you called in tonight, and thank you for the call. I do appreciate hearing from you.
It's good to know.
He pointed out that the governor in Pennsylvania is incredibly corrupt.
Why would
people want to vote for somebody who's incredibly corrupt? How could somebody who's incredibly corrupt get into office? Well, the fact is, the guy who was running against was probably just as incredibly corrupt. So voting isn't going to do diddly squat. And thank you for the call tonight, Michael. There's more coming up here. The number 603-283-6160. And when I say that, I mean generally. I do think that New Hampshire has a chance to work within the system because we have so many libertarian activists coming here that when you actually do vote, a lot of times you can actually vote for someone you know.
And that goal is a bit different as well. So.
Yeah. So it's a totally different feeling to actually cast a vote for somebody who you know personally. You can call up on their cell phone and they actually do care about it.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that last up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast?
We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Your phones are open here, and you can join us at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. If you really want liberty in your lifetime, you ought to check out the upcoming Free Cities Foundation annual conference called Liberty in Our Lifetime. It's happening in Prague, October 21st through the 23rd. Our very own Mark Edge is going to be speaking at that conference. And the conference's theme this year is Parallel Structures for Progress. They'll be showcasing autonomous cities and intentional communities springing up around the world, offering opportunities for settlers to live freer lives. If you want to get 20% off your tickets, you can go to lifetimeliberty.com and use code FTL20. That's FTL20. And you'll get a discount there, 20% off from the event happening October 21st through the 23rd in Prague. Mark says he hopes to see as many of our listeners as possible at the event. So if it sounds interesting to you, you can follow them on Twitter. Their event handle is at LibertyIOL. That's Liberty in Our Lifetime, at LibertyIOL. And if you want to pay for your ticket in Bitcoin, you can drop them a direct message on Twitter for instructions on how to do that. So once again, that's LifetimeLiberty.com. Save 20% with code FTL20.
Just slide into their DMs, yo.
There you go. Ian and the captain here in the studio tonight. We were just talking with somebody about corruption in governments, and he seemed to be convinced that it was worse in Mexico, because there's all this propaganda about Mexico. Ooh, it's dangerous, and cartels, and ooh, it's scary down there, and the government's really bad.
One of the cartels we didn't mention, of course, is the banking cartel.
In the United States. Yeah, I'm sure they have one in Mexico, too.
It's sort of a global cartel. Yeah. Central banking, anyway.
Jason Henza is in the chat tonight in our YouTube channel, and he's the closest thing to an expert that we have, because he's actually spent some number of years of his life living in Mexico as a, I don't know if expatriate is the right word, but he's been down there for some time. He did come back to the U.S. As well, so he's kind of been back and forth. But I'd ask the question, hey, anybody out there want to comment on this statement? And he says the cartels in the U.S. just work differently than Mexico, but both countries have both. And he says the U.S. has a very easy time convincing the people to indenture future generations, and in Mexico, the people are likely to drag politicians through the streets if they think the government is too corrupt.
You know, I mean, I don't advocate violence in any way, shape, or form,
mm-hmm.
but there's something to be said for that.
I don't blame somebody for feeling strongly and wanting to take action.
At least in Mexico, they recognize politicians for the dirtbags that they are.
Maybe some. I'm sure there's some people that trust them or whatever, right?
They still have elections. Yeah, they still vote for a president of Mexico and all that crap. So.
And there's still corruption, and there's still a ton of money in politics, and they're still hurting peaceful people and putting people behind bars. It's just a different experience. It's a different place.
But, you know, like, in Mexico and in other places, I think when I was looking into it, some, you know, I don't know, 5, 6, 8 years ago, something like that.
Looking into Mexico?
Looking into other places to go, right, before I came here. I wanted to come here because this was sort of the first...
Last ditch.
Well, no, this was sort of the first place that, you know, perked my ear. I'm like, what? They're doing what? They're doing a thing? There's a freedom movement? Where is this? I gotta go. So this was, you know, the first that I heard about. But I also heard about Anarchapulco, and I followed a bunch of people online for that. And I also heard about they were doing a thing in Chile that sort of fell apart, like a Gulch Gulch kind of thing.
Yep, I heard about that.
There was something going on in Vietnam. There was something going on in...
there's always something being cooked up.
Estonia somewhere.
But
and,
how many of them actually come to fruition?
So what I was going to say, though, is that unlike the United States of America, if I were to go to, let's just say, Acapulco, and I wanted to open a bar, here's what I would do. I would find a space... And I would go, that was for lease, and I would go and I would rent that space from whoever owned that space. Here's some money. Okay, great. I'm renting it now. Then I would go to the liquor store and I would buy a bunch of liquor. I'd go to like the regular store and get a bunch of like cups and, you know, whatever I needed, right? And then I would haul it to this space. And then I would just put a sign out that says bar and open. That's how you open a bar in Mexico.
Is that true? There's no regulatory agency?
I'm paraphrasing here, but compared to the United States, yes.
It's that much easier.
It's that much easier to go into business in places like Mexico or Vietnam or Chile or, you know, that kind of a thing.
And that's the way it should be.
By way of comparison.
You shouldn't have to ask for permission.
Like, if you want to start a sandwich shop, well, you go and you buy a bunch of supplies to make sandwiches. And then you make sandwiches, and you put a sign out that says, hey, there's some sandwiches over here. Maybe you get online and be like, yo, hey, I'm making sandwiches, everybody. And like, then all of a sudden, you have a sandwich business. That's just how it's supposed to be. But here in the United States of America, you can't do any of that. You got to jump through countless hoops. You got to get insurance. You got to, you know, raise capital. You got to take out a small business loan. You got to have a business plan outlining exactly what you're going to do for the first 1 to 5 years of your business and how, you know, how much it's going to cost and how you project your revenues to be and how many employees you're going to hire instead of just getting down to business and making some freaking sandwiches.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the few times I did go to Mexico for the Anarchapulco event. I went 3 years in a row, and we would have gone again, but the organizer of the event that they put in charge after a few years wasn't very good, and we couldn't come to what was the previous agreement we'd always had with them. She wanted to change it, and it was not good. But what I was going to tell you about was the taquerias, as they are called down there, which is where you go to get really cheap tacos, and they're amazing. I was telling Bonnie this the other night because we were last night when we were out on the not quite yeah I guess we were out basically near the sea. It was the lakes region is where we were. Okay. So there's this place called Weir's Beach. It's a very big touristy kind of place. It's basically a beach on a lake, essentially. And so there's like all these touristy places. We found a place that was open late because we were there pretty late, and we went. It's a Mexican restaurant. I tell her, you know, in Mexico, at these taquerias, they have on every table, there's like this little four-bowl contraption that you can sort of rotate around, and one bowl's got like red salsa, the other bowl's got green salsa, one bowl might have, I don't know, onions in it, and the other bowl's got pico de gallo, right? Okay. So there's like four different things there, and they're just there all the time. So when you sit down at the table, you're using the last, you know, whatever the last people were using. Like, it's just there. They don't, as far as I know, they don't change it out between different people that come to the table. I'm saying, that would never fly in the United States because, sanitation, and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? No one cares. It's like, whatever. Just give me the damn salsa.
Yeah. I think, you know, to the extent of, like, regulation for, like, I don't know, the sandwich business I outlined, like, there probably is some sort of regulatory thing, you know, in Mexico or Chile or Vietnam or whatever. But The difference is, like, you can just start your business, and eventually, like, somebody comes around and is like, hey, you know, do you got a license or something? And you're like, oh, I didn't know. And they go, okay, well, you know, it's $20 or whatever. And you're like, oh, can you forgive me? And then, like, it's you're still in business. You're like, you can just do that. You know, you
can't
don't
do that in the U.S.
So. Can't do that in the U.S. No, no.
If you want to weigh in here, maybe you have opened a business in another country and you want to comment on how easy or difficult it was, the number 603-283-6160. That's definitely not true in every country, because I do remember John Stossel, who did some amazing work with ABC News.
He still does great work.
He's still doing great work. But I think it was with ABC when he did this report where they actually went to different countries and, all right, what do I got to do to start a business? And you know, legally, right?
Right, yeah.
And so they compared, and I think it was the United States, Hong Kong, which back in this time it was still not really taken over by the Chinese. So the U.S., Hong Kong, and it was one of the Middle Eastern countries, and I don't remember which one it was, and something else. And so the difference was significant.
Probably Dubai or something.
The difference was significant between Hong Kong and the United States. It was literally one sheet of paper, sign it, submit it, you're done. You get your business in Hong Kong. The U.S., as you know, lots of hoop jumping, lots of bureaucracy. But the other place was even worse than the United States, the Middle Eastern country or whatever.
Oh, okay.
It was like, they couldn't even, like, KFC couldn't even get through you know, with all their lawyers.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, not know your customer.
They literally had to have the, I think it was like the parliament or whatever, had to vote on whether or not to allow KFC to open a business in their country. So not every place in the world is worse than the United States.
Well, yeah,
but there are definitely some places that are a lot more business friendly.
I mean, here in the United States, you know, kids want to do a lemonade stand, so, you know, parents want to teach them about basic economics, and so they open it, and the cops come and shut them down.
It's happened.
You ain't got a license for this lemonade, kid.
To be fair, I have not heard of that happening in New Hampshire. But it does happen in some places.
I have been here for 3 years. I have yet to see a lemonade stand.
I've seen them. I've seen them in this neighborhood.
In the last 3 years?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen it. The number here is 603-283-6160. We're going to continue with more of your calls and thoughts. Whether you want to weigh in on Hiroshima, Nagasaki. We're talking about the FBI and their militant, violent, extremism, bureaucracy, or their
the symbols
that came out. Yeah, so that's all possible. Plus, the Russian government is apparently on the attack against the dollar and the euro. And this is according to RT, so their own propaganda arm. We'll see what they have to say about that. And your calls and thoughts are welcome. 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever you want as we continue here on this live Saturday edition of Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.